This week's shir will be delivered by Rabbi Yehoshua Grunwald Shlita, member of the Beis Avad Le'inyonei Mishpat, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.
This week's parsha, Parshat Chayisare, at the end of the parsha, the Torah tells us when Avraham Avinu was older, he gave Ayitein Avraham et kol ha'shaloi li'Yitzchak. Avraham Avinu gave away all his possessions to his son Yitzchak. For the Bnei Pilakshim, and to the children of his Pilakshim wives, Asher Avram, not Avram Matonis, to them Avram just gave some presents, and he sent them away from his son Yitzchak while he was still alive, he sent them away to the land in the east. Apparently, Kipshutei Shalmikra, Avram Avinu took all his possessions, and he directed all his inheritance to his son of Yitzchak, and he patterned up the other children with some smaller presents. He exempted himself from giving any inheritance to his other children by giving them some small presents. So Rashi explains that Pasuk over here is referring that Avraham Avinu gave to Yitzchak the power of giving brachas. Hashem benched Avraham Avinu with a power to bench others. And that power Avraham Avinu gave to Yitzchak, and that's what the Pasuk is referring to. However, Rashi earlier in this week's parasha, and the Pasuk, the Pasuk that says that Eliezer, when he was sent by Avraham Avinu, he took all the good things of his master in his hand. So Rashi explains, what does it mean? He took all the good things. How can he carry everything, all the goods in his hand? So Rashi explains that he carried a shtar maton. He carried a document that said that Avraham Avinu gave away all of his possessions as a present to his son Yitzchak. So even according to Rashi's explanation of the psukim, although the Torah at the end of the parasha isn't saying that Avraham Avinu gave away all of his possessions to Yitzchak, nevertheless, according to Rashi, the Torah says so earlier in the parasha. However, as we'll see, there's other mefarshim that understand the pasuk more, we would say, kipshutoi, that this pasuk over here is what tells us that Avraham Avinu gave away all of his possessions to Yitzchak. In any case, the Torah tells us in this week's parasha that Avraham Avinu gave away all of his possessions, almost all of his possessions, to his son Yitzchak. To this, the Mefarshim ask a tremendous question. The one that's most famous for asking the question is the Ve'im, the Mizrahi, in his Perush on Rashi. And the Mizrahi asks the question that we know, Chazal tell us, that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. Avraham Avinu kept the entire Torah and even Erev Tavshilim. He even kept mitzvahs and gzeiros d'rabbanon, such as the mitzvah of Erev Tavshilim. And we know that the Gemara says in the Masechta Bava Basra, Lo yisehavi ba'avui achsanto ba'afilim mibrabisha v'bratava. The Gemara tells us in the Masechta Bava Basra that one should keep himself away from being present by somebody that's taking away the inheritance from one son and giving it to another son. And even if he's taking it away from a bad son and giving it to a good son. In essence, the Gemara is telling us that there's a prohibition of an inheritor to redirect the inheritance and give the inheritance to the undeserving heir. In other words, the Torah set up an order of inheritance. The Torah told us guidelines, whose inheritance, generally speaking, if there's a son, so the son gets it. If there's no son, then we look if there's descendants of those sons. If there's no sons or any descendants of those sons, so then we see if there's any daughters. There are no daughters. We look if there's any descendants of the daughter. That's the basic idea of how the inheritance follows. Avraham Avinu that had many sons, Avraham Avinu had a son, Yishmael, and he had a son, Yitzchak, and he had more children, he had more sons, the Bnei Keturah, the children of Keturah, and he went ahead and he gave the vast majority of his possessions to Yitzchak alone. So the Chayyar, that was a violation of this tradition of redirecting the inheritance. And although it's a tremendous discussion among the Paiskim, whether this Isser of redirecting inheritance is an Isser de Ayaisa, a biblical prohibition, or if it's an Isser de Rabbanon, if it, in other words, it's a rabbinical prohibition, but no matter what it is, it's a prohibition according to almost all opinions. It's not just a recommended behavior, it's a prohibition. And being that it's so, so how could Avraham Avinu violate this prohibition and redirect the inheritance and give it all, give the vast majority of it to his son Yitzchak? So asks the Mizrahi. And the truth is, there's even Rishonim earlier than the Mizrahi, they ask the same question. And L'chayr, we can add that there's another question that must be discussed. And that is that L'chayr, Yishmael was the oldest son, so Yishmael was like a Bechor. If Yishmael was like a Bechor, he should have gotten a double shear, because we know that a Bechor gets Pishnayim. Not only does the Bechor get Pishnayim, but there's also biblical prohibition to diminish the inheritance of the Bechor. Whether the prohibition of redirecting inheritance by other Yorashim, by other heirs, is a biblical prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition, but clearly, according to all opinions, there is a biblical prohibition to take away the inheritance of the Bechor, of the firstborn. If Avraham Avinu was taking away the inheritance of the Yishmael, who was the Bechor, so he was in violation of the Bechor, of this biblical prohibition of taking away the inheritance from the Bechor. And really, it's not just a prohibition, it doesn't work, it's impossible for a person to do it. Now, we must explain that although we're asking questions over here, how could Avraham Avinu violate these prohibitions, we must make it clear that this question is only a question based on what the Gemara says, that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim the entire Torah. In other words, in truth, Avraham Avinu was never commanded that he must keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. In truth, he was not in violation. In true violation, even if these prohibitions for some reason would have applied to him, which we'll go on to explain how for some reason they didn't, but even if they would have, he certainly wouldn't have truthfully violated anything, because he was never commanded to keep it. We were commanded to keep the Torah, because once the Torah was given on our Sinai and Gan Chayisul accepted it, we became obligated to keep the entire Torah. But Avraham Avinu was before that time, and therefore he never was given this obligation, and therefore in truth he was never violating. It's only according to that that the Gemara says that he kept the entire Torah. So we want to explain how these actions of Avraham Avinu are able to fit in to the guidelines of the Torah. We want to be able to see how these chazals and these psukim could work out and fit in with that that the Gemara says that Avraham Avinu was mekayim the entire Torah. But whenever, and therefore from here on, whenever we'll mention in the Shir that such an expression that l'chayu Avraham Avinu was in violation, we don't really mean he was in violation, we only mean to say, how can this fit with that the Gemara says he was mekayim the entire Torah? So let's move on, and let's go to the answers of the Mefarshim, how they answer these questions. And it's very important for us to go through these questions, answers, and focus on these answers, because it's not just a question about Avraham Avinu, about some historical fact. Chas v'shalom, it's not just historical fact. It's certainly divrei Torah, but it's not just limud haTorah, but it's some practical halacha. Almost every one of these answers that we're going to discuss has halachic ramifications for anyone that's involved with this halacha shayla of redirecting his inheritance. In Chayshe Mishpat, in Siman Yesh Pei Beis, we find this halacha brought down that one is not allowed to redirect his inheritance. Because, like the Gemara said, a person should not even be in the presence of somebody who's redirecting his inheritance. In other words, the Gemara stipulated that there's a prohibition and one shouldn't even help out the situation. And this halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Right there in Shulchan Aruch, the Ketzayit HaChoshen brings down that the Tashpat explains that one can easily avoid this prohibition if he leaves over a substantial remainder for the proper heir. In other words, if let's say Yaakov has two sons, Reuben and Shimon, and he really wishes to give all the inheritance to his son Reuben, and he doesn't want to violate this prohibition of redirecting the inheritance, so says the Tashbats, as long as he gives a substantial amount to Shimon, then it's permissible for this person Yaakov to give the remainder of the inheritance to his son Reuven. This is the very famous Shita of the Tashbats, quoted by the Ketzayit HaChoshen. Apparently it would seem that the Ketzayit HaChoshen agrees with this. This Shita of the Tashbats is a tremendous discussion in the Poskim. On the one hand, the Ketzayit HaChoshen quotes the Tashbats and seems to follow the opinion of the Tashbats. On the other hand, the Ketzayit HaChoshen himself, in another location, in another place, he seems to disagree with the Tashbats. Additionally, the Tiskei Tshuva idea brings out that the Chasam Sofer disagrees with the Tashbats. However, there's many, many Poskim that do side with the Tashbats. And in truth, we could really say an entire shir discussing this opinion of the Tashbats. But we don't want to get too much off of the theme of today's shir, and therefore we'll try to keep away from getting into the fine details of this sheet of the Tashbats. And therefore we will just mention a few basic points regarding this sheet of the Tashbats. So one, we could say that the minhag, the custom, has always been that we do rely on the Tashbats. And even today, there are many places that say that the minig is that we rely on the Tashbats. And therefore, as long as one gives over a substantial amount to each of the proper payers, he can after that give the remainder to whoever he wishes. And that would be as far as the halacha standpoint. Nevertheless, Poskim states that preferably one should only rely on this leniency where there's substantial reason for him to do such a thing. For example, in the case where one has sons and he has a wife that he's leaving over after he leaves this world, and the children are the ones that are the halachic inheritors, and he wants to redirect his inheritance that his wife should get a good share. So even though she's already allocated a tremendous portion of his estates through his ksuba, nevertheless, he's uncomfortable with leaving her such a small portion, and he'd rather leave her a much larger portion. So that's an example of one of the substantial reasons that could possibly exist for a person to be encouraged to, I don't know if we're encouraged, but we can understand and we won't discourage him from relying on his leniency. Another example is when a person has sons and daughters. There is an old custom among the Ashkenazic Jews to give a nice portion to the daughters, even in the presence of sons. There was a minhag to give the daughters a half of what each of the sons received. And there's a very strong reasoning to follow such a custom, and that is that we find already in Chazal the concept that a father wishes that his daughter should always find favor in her husband's eyes. A father is always concerned, and it's his obligation to be concerned about this, that people should be interested in marrying his daughter. Because of that, people gave a nedunya, a nadon, a dowry, and it's encouraged for somebody to give a dowry. And it's, and as an extension to that, people are encouraged not just to give money at the time of the marriage, but to give money to leave over as part of the inheritance to the daughter and son-in-law as an encouragement for people to want to marry such daughters. So these are examples of substantial reasons we will understand why people will want to follow such leniency, and in such cases we won't discourage the inheritor from redistributing his inheritance. But when there's no reason at all, another example is when it's let's say for a mitzvah, let's say he wants to give tzedakah, before he passes away he wants to give a lot of charity, so as long as he's leaving over a substantial amount for the proper heirs, so then it's okay for him to rely on his leniency. Another important aspect of the halachic, from the halachic standpoint, of this sheet of the Tashbat, is that the Tashbat says he must leave a substantial amount for each of the halachic heirs. Now, what's considered a substantial amount? So the Tashbat himself says that it's the amount of 4 zuz. And Moshe, Feinstein Zatzal, in his Chuvis, Igris Moshe, discusses this in 3 places. And in each place, he writes, he's trying to shtaltzu, he's trying to define how much is going to be the proper amount for today's day and age. And in each of these 3 Chuvis, then Moshe Feinstein writes a different amount. In one place he writes that one should give each of the halachic heirs a fifth of the inheritance. In another place he writes he should give them each $1,000. And in another place he writes he should leave them the house. So it's unclear exactly what the why it's so that Moshe wrote 3 different ways of measuring and guidelines of how much is considered a substantial amount. But this much we see that it's not the smallest amount, and it's not it doesn't have to be such a tremendous amount. And it's a gray area, and one should ask a competent halachic authority what should be the suggested amount. Al kolpanim v'oifim, let's get back to the question that we started our shiur with, and that is, how could Avraham Avinu redirect his inheritance and give the vast majority of it to his son Yitzchak, and give only some small matonis to the Bnei Keturah and probably to Yishmael? So to that we can answer that according to the opinion of the Tashbat, which as we explained, the minig is to follow like the Tashbat, and there's so many shittos in the poskim that do follow the Tashbat, so according to all of these poskim, it's very understandable why Avraham Avinu was able to give away the vast majority of his inheritance and not be considered violating a prohibition of giving away inheritance. Let's discuss now the answer of the Re'im, the Mizrahi. So his answer actually doesn't have any halachic applications, it's only specific for the situation of Avraham Avinu, but let's mention it. The Mizrahi says that Avraham Avinu gave away his inheritance to Yitzchak, possibly the Shana Yeshlaima, maybe Shani Hacha Dechsiv Ki Yitzchak Yikoyen Lechazora. Maybe, perhaps, this situation was different because the Torah said Ki Yitzchak Yikoyen Lechazora. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a specific command to Avraham Avinu that he should consider Yitzchak his only child. By that the Pasuk says Ki Yitzchak Yikoyen Lechazora, that Yitzchak will be called for him a child. So perhaps with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Avraham Avinu that he should consider Yitzchak as his only child. Very similarly, other Achrayim, the Gur Aryeh, the Maral, follows the Mizrahi, says something in a similar vein. He says, Shani Hocha Shekvar Amr Lo Yisorek Yidagiyah Zeh Im Bini Im Yitzchak. That since Sarah told Avraham Avinu that Yishmael will not inherit together with Yitzchak, so with that Avraham Avinu was commanded that only Yitzchak should inherit. So the Levush adds on to the Maral, and he says we must add to that, that, and how do I know that it, we're, since when, what was Avraham Avinu's obligation to listen to Sarah? So that's what Sarah told Avraham Avinu. But why did Avraham Avinu have to listen to Sarah? So there the answer is that because Hashem told Avraham Avinu that whatever Sarah says, you have to listen to her. And Sarah said that Yishmael will not inherit together with Yitzchak. So therefore Avraham Avinu was obligated to follow Sarah's command, and she said that only Yitzchak will inherit and not Yishmael. We can ask, perhaps, but this would only answer why Avraham Avinu took away the inheritance from his son Yishmael. That is because he had a specific command. However, this would not answer why he took it, possibly would not answer why he took it away from the Bnei Keturah. Sarah Imenu, when she told this to Avraham Avinu, that was at a time when there was only Yishmael and Yitzchak. But who said that Sarah Imenu said that the Bnei Keturah cannot inherit? That's one. And even if Sarah Imenu said that the Bnei Keturah cannot inherit, who said that Avraham Avinu was commanded by Hashem to listen to Sarah with whatever Sarah will say throughout her entire life? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Avraham Avinu he should listen to whatever Sarah says with regard to how he deals with his son Yishmael. But who says Avraham Avinu has to listen to whatever Sarah says with regard to everything else in the world, with everything, regard to everything else in his life? Who said he was commanded to listen to whatever Sarah would say regarding Bnei Keturah? So that's a discussion that goes beyond the theme of today's shir, and therefore we're not going to go into that. As I said before, there's really others earlier than the Re'im that asked the question, and that is the Dazikainim of the Bali Tosis and the Rosh. They also asked the Kasha. And the Dazikainim answers that you can't ask me a question why Avraham Avinu took it away from Yishmael. He says, Yishmael was a gear. And Avraham Avinu was also a gear. We know that a gear is considered unrelated to his previous relatives. So if Avraham Avinu was a gear and Yishmael were a gear, so halachically they were considered unrelated. And if they're unrelated, so therefore halachically, Yishmael would not inherit Avraham Avinu. Aye, so that would only answer how Avraham Avinu could take it away from Yishmael. But that wouldn't answer why Avraham Avinu could take it away from the Bnei Ketuyah. Because Avraham Avinu became a gir. Then after Avraham Avinu became a gir, he had a child, Yitzchak. Yitzchak was certainly born after he became a gir, because Yitzchak was related to Avraham Avinu. And the Bnei Ketuyah were born after Yitzchak was born. So that means the Bnei Ketuyah were related to Avraham Avinu. So how could Avraham Avinu take away inheritance from the Bnei Ketuyah? So as after that, the Kainim answers that he gave away his inheritance to Yitzchak before the Bnei Ketuyah were born. So thus, Avraham Avinu never violated the prohibition of giving away inheritance, redirecting inheritance, because Yishmael was unrelated, and the other children, there was no inheritance left at the time when they were born. So again, this is on a mahalach, these mahalachim are all ways how to answer the question that are specific to the case of Avraham Avinu and Yishmael, Avraham Avinu and the Bnei Ketuyah. Yisteichemer, Klal Gimel, page 262 it is, he brings down from a sefer all the Yitzchok and also the Be'er Sheva, let's say another teretz. And this teretz has halachic ramifications, and this was very important for us to discuss. If you go back to the Gemara says, a person cannot redirect the inheritance and take away the inheritance from one son and give it to another son, or from one relative and give it to another relative, or to give it to a friend who's unrelated. And the Gemara explains that why is it so? The Gemara says even more. The Gemara says that one cannot even give it away, take away from a bad son and give it to a good son. Even if one has a bad son, and therefore one wants to take away his inheritance from him, he wants that son shouldn't inherit. Nevertheless, he should not redirect his inheritance. Why? What's the reasoning? The Gemara explains, because perhaps Duma Nofik Minei, the Leoda Maizora Nofik Minei, person never knows what kind of descendants will come out of such a son. Even if this son has perhaps bad midas, bad anhogis, perhaps this son is a Baal Aveira, he does lots of bad deeds, he doesn't do too many mitzvahs, nevertheless, he doesn't know what kind of children, perhaps that son will have a son, or a grandson, or a great-grandson, who will be Chayzeh B'tshuva, who will become a Baal Tshuva, who will start to become a big tzaddik, like we have in the Gemara says the children of Haman, Sanam L'Tayim and Abiyak. We don't know, we never know who the children, what kind of type of children will come out. And therefore, he should never redirect his inheritance. He should leave it the way the Torah has set it up to follow. He doesn't have to be a Iber Chacham, we would say. So, says the Ole Yitzchak and the Be'er Sheva, that this is only true if a person doesn't know what type of children will come out. The average person doesn't know what his grandchildren will be like. He doesn't know what the great-grandchildren will be like. However, Avraham Avinu, he was different. Avraham Avinu, he knew with Nevuah that from Yishmael and from the Bnei Ketuyah, there wouldn't be any good children at all. And being that he knew it so, he had no, the tradition of redirecting inheritance did not apply to him. So you might be thinking in your mind, so what do I mean that this has a halachic ramification? Today, none of us are Nevi'im. None of us know, like what Avraham Avinu knew, that no good children would come out. So if that's the case, so why would, answer would be specific only to Avraham Avinu, it wouldn't have anything to do with us. However, I would like to bring out, and this is why I'm putting a focus and stress on this answer, is that there's a tshuva of the Maamshik that says that even though the Gemara says that a person should never redirect his inheritance, even from a bad son to a good son, because a person never knows what type of children will come out. Says the Maamshik, that's only if the bad son is not an apikairis. As long as that's only if the bad son is not a mechal shabbos v'fahesya. That's only if the bad son isn't acting like a goy. But if the bad son went totally off the derech, says the Maamshik, so then it's the cheskas that the children will remain like that. And for such a son, we don't say, we don't know, doom was enough, yoda mazor enough, ikminei. Even, a person doesn't have to be a navi. The Gemara is only saying if it's a bad son who's not so great, he's not doing so many mitzvahs, his neither aren't so great, his behavior, he's maybe a little mechutzistik. But if he totally, he's totally off, so then anybody has the right to redirect his inheritance because he can assume that no good children will come out. That's what the Maamshik says, that's in Chayshim Mishpat Simen Mem Gimel. And similarly, the Moshe Feinstein says the same thing in a tshuva. This is in Moshe Feinstein, is in Igas Moshe, Chayshim Mishpat Chayli Beis Simen Nun Anav Gimel. And therefore, according to these opinions, if Rahman al-Islam, a father has a son that went totally off the derech, it would be permitted for him to redirect his inheritance. Nevertheless, one suggested, one should ask a shayla. Hopefully nobody should have this shayla. But in case it would happen, it's worth asking because it's not so simple perhaps. It's not agreed upon by all. I'd like to discuss one more mahalich of how to answer this question, which is also a very sadistic answer for its halachic ramifications. And that is the Levush says that there was a different reason why Avraham Avinu wasn't in violation of redirecting his inheritance. Says Levush, are you going to tell me that it's prohibited to give away gifts during the lifetime? Is certainly permitted to give away gifts. And therefore, Avraham Avinu was permitted to give whatever he gave to Yitzchak, because whatever he gave in the form of a gift. But this answer seems to be going on a mahalach that a person can redirect his inheritance as long as he gives it away in the form of a gift. Theoretically, it would seem that the following this opinion, anyone could redirect his inheritance without having any violation by just changing the name, so to say, of the inheritance, and instead of calling it inheritance, he'll call it a gift. We definitely don't say such a thing. It's possible that even though Levush himself never meant to go that far, and it only sets it up in a way that it's a gift, and it has the ramifications of that it's a gift and not an inheritance. This is a tremendous discussion among the Paiskim, if one can do such a thing, to just change it to the form of a gift, and by doing so, he'll avert this whole issue of being either the Avei of the Sabu, the Sahavi Abu Achsanta, that will avert this whole tradition of redirecting inheritance. And some opinions reject this whole mahalach of the Levush entirely. Some say there's no such heter. Some say there is such a heter. Those that say that there is a heter, but there's different explanations to explain when it's considered a gift, when it's not considered a gift. Certainly, according to all opinions, a gift during the lifetime, that's clearly a regular gift of a healthy person. In other words, it's a regular gift that nobody would look at it as a redistribution of inheritance. Nobody would think for a second that this is has anything to do with inheritance, that this has anything to do with Yerusha. It's just a gift because he's spending part of his money, he's happy to give to a friend of his, he's getting a Teves Hanor for the gift that he gives the person. All such gifts are definitely permitted. But when one comes at the end of his lifetime and he's trying to redistribute his inheritance and he's just going to term it as a gift, one must definitely ask a Shaila about doing so. Until this point, we discussed the answers to the first question. Until here we discussed that how do we answer the question of how Avraham Avinu was able to redistribute his inheritance without violating the prohibition of redirecting inheritance. And so far we haven't discussed how Avraham Avinu was able to take away the inheritance from Yishmael, who was a Bechor. What happened to that prohibition? Perhaps you would say that the answers that we gave to the question one would be the same answers to question two. All the answers that we gave of why it's permitted to violate the prohibition of redirecting inheritance, those answers would also answer the question how Avraham Avinu was able to violate the prohibition of taking away a double portion from the firstborn. Nevertheless, the truth is that these two prohibitions have a different set of laws. It is true that some of the answers that we mentioned would fit. The answers of the Da'as HaKeinim and the Rosh, the Da'as HaKeinim and the Rosh, that they said that Yishmael was a ger and therefore he didn't inherit Avraham Avinu at all, that answer would definitely answer how Avraham Avinu was able to redirect the inheritance in the presence of Yishmael, although Yishmael was a firstborn. However, the answer that we answered, that he left over a remainder, the Tashpatz's opinion that he left over a remainder of a little bit of the inheritance, that answer would be insufficient of an answer when it's a discussion of a prohibition of taking away from the inheritance of a firstborn. Whenever there's a firstborn, even the Tashpatz agrees that it's insufficient to leave the chayyad, to leave the firstborn with a small, substantial amount. In such a case, one has to give the bechor, the firstborn, the entire double portion. Nevertheless, on the other side of the coin, according to all opinions, it is permissible to redirect the inheritance in the presence of a firstborn without violating this prohibition of taking away from the firstborn when he gives it in the form of a present. So therefore we could say that Avraham Avinu gave away his inheritance to Yitzchak in the form of a present, that would certainly answer this question of how he was able to take it away from Yishmael. And I think that this is why all those that asked the question, none of them in fortune even thought of asking the second question that we asked. It was only my question. And that is because they probably all felt that it's possible that since it was a present, he wouldn't be in violation of taking away from the firstborn. It was only the other prohibition of taking away, redirecting inheritance of any heir that they discussed. And that's because such a prohibition is not simple that it's sufficient to give it away in the form of a present. And that's why they asked the question on that prohibition, even though that prohibition, according to many opinions, is only a rabbinical prohibition, nevertheless, they put their focus on that question.
This audio series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Le'inyoni Mishpat, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha. To call for a consultation, to order this series, or to sign up to receive the Journal of Talmudic Law and Finance, please call 1-888-485-VAD or email info@beishavad.com.